We'll be reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. As we have gone through the different aspects of love in this passage, some have told me it has helped them to grow in love and to repent of the ways that they have not been showing love. I also hope it has helped you to see Jesus and your need for Jesus, because only Jesus is able to demonstrate all of the characteristics of love without sin. So last Sunday morning, I asked you to put your name where you saw the word love. So love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy. Put your name in there. Well, only Jesus' name perfectly fits in that slot. And so hopefully you've seen Jesus and his glory in all of this. And now we come to the last sermon in the series, and it's all about the perfect love we experience in heaven. We can experience great love here on earth from God, great love from other people. But oh, the day when we see Jesus face to face and experience his perfect love without any sin in the way. As we read verses 8 through 13, it fills our hearts with longing by pointing us to what this love is all about. The theme of this sermon is this: now we know love in part, but then in heaven we shall know love fully. And this theme will be unpacked in 3 points. First, we need to establish the theme from the text. And then second, we'll go deeper into what this kind of love actually is like, a taste of this experience in heaven. And then finally, we'll make some application. So first, let's get into the passage and see what it's saying. Verse 8, it says, love never ends. And then it talks about prophecies and tongues and knowledge and how they won't last forever. Well, the gifts of prophecies, tongues, and knowledge are gifts from the Holy Spirit. They're very powerful gifts. They would be what we call charismatic gifts. But the Bible's very clear. They are only temporary. They're not going to last forever and ever. Love is the greater gift because love never ends. The reason why Paul makes this argument is because people were chasing after these gifts as if all Christians should have them and as if they were the center point of the Christian life. Like, to be really spiritual, you have to speak in tongues, you have to do miracles, you have to have special knowledge, you have to be able to prophesy. So all of this was going on in the church of Corinth. And what Paul is saying is that these charismatic gifts do not measure how spiritual you are. And the reason for that is because the best gift of all, the gift given to all Christians, is the gift of love. So stop trying to be this super spiritual person and just love people in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we get to verse 9. And it says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Well, what does this mean, in part? Well, it means we don't have the fullness now. Prophecy and tongue speaking and knowledge, they don't bring the full experience of love that we will experience in heaven. Then we get to verse 10. It has the phrase, when the perfect comes. This means we won't need any of these lesser gifts, such as tongue speaking and prophecies, because they were gifts that revealed God's love. In heaven, we'll know God's love in a much fuller way. And this passage concludes with two illustrations in verses 11 and 12. The first illustration is that of a child being brought to maturity. The love experience that Paul experiences now on earth is just a child's love compared to the maturity in heaven. And the second illustration is that of looking into a mirror. The love we know on earth, it's real, it's powerful, but compared to what heaven is going to be like, it's just a dim, foggy picture, like looking at yourself in the mirror after you get out of a hot shower. And then we get to the last line, and it says, "Then I shall know fully, even as I have been perfectly known." So think about how much God knows you and how He knows you so perfectly. He created you. He's omniscient. There's nothing that God does not know about you. And He knows you in a very intimate, relational way because Jesus died to save you. So what the Bible is saying here is just as God knows us fully in love, so we will know a full love of God from our own hearts to Him in the world to come. I think you can see now what this passage is saying. Love never ends. And the reason for that is because love will go on forever in heaven. And in heaven, we experience the fullness of God's love. We cannot miss the depths of what this passage is pointing to. Perfect love in heaven that will never end. This whets our appetite and stirs our emotions and causes us to long for this day where we no longer look at God as through a dim mirror. One pastor expresses his longing in these words. He writes, "The heaven I desired was a heaven of holiness, to be with God and to spend my eternity in divine love, to spend holy communion with Christ. My mind was taken up with contemplations of heaven and the enjoyment of those who are there and living in perfect holiness, humility, and love. I imagine my happiness is being able to express my love to Christ in heaven. Heaven is a delightful world of love. All happiness consists in living in pure, humble, heavenly, divine love." Do you have that longing? Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to know what this love is all about? Well, we're going to go on to our second point. We're going to go deeper into what this experience of love is going to be like. So there will be such perfect love experienced because God dwells in heaven and we will be directly in His presence. It is true that God is present everywhere. But when we speak of His presence, we often mean a special degree of His presence or a special experience of His presence. Psalm 11 verse 4 says, "The Lord's throne is in heaven." So there is a location where God's presence is focused. In heaven, we will be before the throne, directly in the presence of that throne and in the presence of that great love. 1 John 4 verse 8 says that God is love. So His presence will all be about love. Think about the love that will overflow to us from God, who is love. God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's mutual love between each person of the Trinity. And the Father glorifies the Son, and the Son glorifies the Father, and the Spirit is part of that too. There is so much love between the three persons of the Trinity that there could be a worldwide flood a million times over and still not exhaust the depths of this love. So this love that God has between the persons of the Trinity is the love that will flow into us in a direct way because we will be in His presence. There will be such a perfect love in heaven because every object in heaven will be lovely. There will be no false teachers, no false prophets, no lukewarm Christians. People will be waving palm branches as they are clothed in white. And Revelation says these are people who have come out of the great tribulation. This means we are no longer the scarred, bruised people of this broken world. We're not the suffering people of this world anymore. We are the perfected people in heaven. And the heavenly city itself matches the splendor of the lovely people by being full of splendor itself. So in Revelation 21, we read of pearly gates and streets of gold, and how there are 12 gates and 12 foundations with the 12 names of the apostles of the Lamb. And then in Revelation 4 and 5, we read of the sea of crystal and the saints worshiping at the sea of crystal. All this is a beautiful, pristine world, and it is lovely. And the loveliness of the world matches the loveliness of the people. And so all things in heaven will be lovely, which only increases our joy and love. There will be such a fullness of love experienced in heaven because of the things we get to possess in heaven. We can say, Jesus is mine, and I am his, and mean it with absolute certainty. We possess our heavenly inheritance that Ephesians 1 says has been guaranteed to us by the Holy Spirit. The inheritance includes all the things we counted worthwhile to suffer for. And in heaven, we will possess those things fully and enjoy them forever. The quality of love will be part of our knowing in full. In heaven, there will be a love that is always returned. Here on earth, we love people, but it's so one-sided often. Teachers, you give every day to your students, and they very rarely say thank you. Marriages can be one-sided, one spouse always working at the relationship while the other seems not to care. But there is nothing one-sided in heaven. God's love for us is returned by us, and our love for others is always responded to with love. There will be a pure love as well. Right now, our love is mixed with jealousy and flattery, and there's likely always some degree of selfishness. We go to help someone for the glory of Christ, to serve them, but maybe we're also serving them for our own sake because we like to feel good about serving, and so it's not this pure, selfless act. There's always some degree of selfishness, but not so in heaven. And this is remarkable given the diversity of glory that will be in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of some people shining like the stars, and some are shining like the moon. Each are shining in glory, but different degrees of glory. And then in Matthew 25, verse 21, it seems to speak of rewards that people will get in heaven. Whatever degrees of glory or whatever degrees of rewards there are, there will be no jealousy, no selfishness. Those in a so-called lower station will rejoice for those in a higher station because their greater degrees reflects the greater life of holiness they lived, and Christ gets the glory for it. Holiness and God's glory will be the passion that rules the day. And those in a higher position will not look down on those in a lower position because they too reflect glory. But they reflect the glory of humility. The love for holiness of those in the higher position will drive them to love others in a lower position. And so there will be no jealousy or flattery or envy. The love we experience in fullness will be a completely satisfying love. Here on earth, we can act like God is not enough. We live as though money will make us happy, as though fame or status means that we are loved. If we get a good paying job or the job that we've dreamed of, that means we're loved. That means we're worth something. We act like earthly things define us more than how God defines us. But in heaven, God's love will put our aching souls completely at rest. And that is all that we will ever need. In heaven, our love will be set free. Free from sin, free from the old nature that still clings to us. Our old nature will be completely done away with, and we will have new hearts, new ears, new eyes with which we can behold the love of God. On earth, it is as if our wings have been clipped, but in heaven, the wings are grown for the first time. And we will experience Isaiah 40, verse 31, in the greatest way possible. It says, "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." In heaven, all barriers that existed on earth will be erased. Revelation 7 shows how people from every tribe and people group will be gathered together in song with one voice. And some think the one voice will be one language. And others think that the one voice is people speaking different languages at the same time. But either way, no barriers will prevent us from loving God in community with each other. I can go to Amor Viviente right now and worship with them and say, "I worship God. This was a great experience. I was focused on Christ. I experienced love." I can experience the richness of that diversity. But oh, the perfection when we get to heaven and we can fully understand each other and worship without any barriers. And the intimacy in heaven will be unparalleled to anything on earth. Ephesians 2 speaks about how Jews and Gentiles, they're being built into the one household of God. Now, here on earth, we can be brothers and sisters in Christ. How much more so in heaven? I think of how many are lonely in this culture. The angst that is there, and the anxiety that seems to be so pervasive, the depression in this culture. A lot of that has to do with loneliness. We are more connected than ever with Facebook and social media, but yet we are more isolated from each other as well as a result of all of that. And in some cases, people cannot even find deep relationships within their own church. All of what we are longing for, that intimacy, is going to be found in a perfect way in heaven. On earth, our intimacy with God can be elusive as well. It's elusive with people, it's also elusive with God. There is such a thing called divine absence, where we feel like God is not there. We feel like we're being forsaken by Him, even though intellectually we know He's present. Well, in heaven, this is what our experience of love will be like with God. Revelation 7, verse 16. "The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear." So that's the intimacy we have with God. As we contemplate these truths, we may feel our hearts racing, our minds turning, our hearts swelling with the love that comes from God. The fullness of love that is in heaven shows what a great and powerful and faithful God we have. He loves us, and He invites us into this relationship of love with Him. How amazing is that? Behold our God, see Him in all of His love and perfection, and know that He is your God and He lives inside of you. Now I want to close this sermon with some application. Because heaven is a world of love, a world of perfect love, commit right now to the life of love and show the world what heaven is all about. Don't wait till heaven till you show that love. Start showing it now. Commit to a life of love because our actions give people a preview of heaven. So this week, read over 1 Corinthians 13 again. Commit to loving when you are provoked. Commit to a kind love. Root out all envy and boasting. Show courtesy and respect instead of rude behavior and arrogant behavior. Seek others' good. Commit to avoiding expressions of anger. Let go of bitterness that you might have for people. Commit to bearing people's sufferings. Commit to believing the good in people. Commit to hoping that God can do anything in a person's life, no matter what they are doing. Commit to enduring all things. Let the vision of heaven we have just laid out compel you to great acts of love. And if you live this life of love, then you will have more assurance of your salvation because you will see a love for heaven in your heart. And as you live a life of love, you will experience more of God's love on earth. Not because you are earning it, but because you are operating in a frame that is open to heaven and its love. If you center yourself on heaven, that opens up your heart to experience even more love from God here on earth. And while we need to commit to loving behavior, we also need to be weary of bad behavior. If we do not love, we are bad witnesses. And if we do not love like 1 Corinthians 13 calls us to, there may be more hell in our soul than heaven. Division, backbiting, slander, coldness. Those are all things that destroy people. It destroys churches because it makes the church no longer about heaven. The church becomes more about hell than heaven. Or your life becomes more about hell than heaven. Make heaven the rule of your house. Make it the rule of your classroom and workplace. If you are an employer, realize you show people heaven by how you treat them. In the products you make and the customers that you serve, you have opportunities to love. So revision your work. This is not just work to pay the bills. Your work is your labor of love and demonstration of what heaven is like. The fullness of love that we will one day experience in heaven means we can find happiness on earth. We have happiness in our future glory. We may not have much on earth, but we will have the fullness of love in the world to come. Some of us today might be grumpy. We're very dissatisfied with how events have turned out in our lives. Some of us might be acting like a ticking time bomb, ready to explode, and we do lash out at people. We're stressed. Our anxiety is high. Things at work may not be going the best. Things in the home not going the best. And so we're just very dissatisfied with life, and we're searching for contentment, searching for happiness. And we can find that happiness in heaven. Here's what one pastor writes. It is the happiness of love and the beginning of a life of such love, holy, humble, divine, and heavenly love that satisfies. Love to God, love to Christ, love to saints for God and for Christ's sake. And the enjoyment of the fruits of God's love and holy communion with God and Christ, with holy persons. This is what we have a relish for. And such is their renewed nature, that such happiness suits their disposition, frame of mind, and appetite, and dreams above all other things. And not only above all things that they have, but above all that they conceive is possible they could have. The world does not afford anything like it, but heaven does. They have chosen divine love before all things else and chosen it freely. Their souls go out after it more than anything else, and their hearts are more eager in pursuit of it. They have chosen it not because they have met with sorrow, not because they are in such a low and afflicted circumstance that they don't expect anything anymore from the world. But they choose it because their hearts were so captivated by this good, and they chose it for its own sake before all worldly good. And so choose heaven today. Are you dissatisfied? Are you aching, longing for something more? Choose heaven. Realize that God's divine love and what we taste of it on earth and what we can express of it on earth, this is what matters in life. This is what satisfies. This is what brings peace. This is what ultimately matters. Another way that the love of heaven applies to us, and it's related to what we just talked about, it causes us to reflect on what we are chasing after and what we value. The love in heaven is the highest thing we can ever experience. And yet we act like certain material things are fulfilling. We spend all of our time looking at things that will perish rather than seeking heaven. And so some of us this morning may need to reevaluate our priorities. And that's something you can pray about and think about this week. Let this vision of the love we get to have in heaven also spur us on to persevere in suffering. Heaven is like a palace on a giant hill. This hill is so big, it takes all of our years to get to the top. And on the way up the hill, there is pain. Just like with any hiking, our legs burn, our muscles get sore. There's hardship up the hill. Yet the higher up the hill that we get, the more of the top we get to see. Well, the more of, as we get toward the hill leading to the heavenly city, the more of the palace we get to see. And the more of the palace we get to see, the more we're filled with hope, and we keep going up the hill. And the more we go up the hill, the more of the heavenly city we see, which fills us with more strength to keep going, even though our muscles burn and we ache inside our hearts. So the more of Jesus in heaven we see, the more we press on, and the more we press on to see more of Jesus, and we're filled with strength, the burning and the ache of traveling on the hill will be worth it for all the glimpses of the city, all the glimpses of love that will fill our hearts. And so, yes, the journey is tough. You are aching inside, but it's worth it. Keep going up the hill. And then finally, contemplate heaven. Talk about heaven. With faith, see Jesus in heaven. And as you behold his glory in heaven and experience some of that already, you will want more of heaven. Heaven will become your goal in life. You will seek heaven. You will seek to show people on earth what heaven is like. And the love of heaven will characterize all you do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for filling us with this vision of the fullness of heaven. And it is full of love. We can see what that love is like. We long for that day. In the meantime, help us to keep going up the hill. Help us to persevere with our eyes fixed on Jesus and that heavenly city which is full of love. Help us to live as if heaven is a reality right now. Soften our hearts. Destroy the selfishness and the bitterness and the anger that we hold within us. And may we have love, a Christ-like love, a heavenly love in us. Amen.